Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Twitter Reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Our good friend tweets me all the time. At least he tweets me all the time, so I consider him a good friend.
I don't know if he's a good friend to me.
He tweeted me and said, Radu, by the way, he says, who hasn't got 101 on I-71 in Strong
Town? That's all right.
Who among us has not done that, Daryl?
We all know where that highway patrolman was setting, if you've ever driven that.
I've driven that way a few times, yeah. Like enough where I think I have a general idea where he was sitting.
So
So what's funny about coming this direction, because I live on the east side, coming up 70-71, there is a spot where there's always a cop. With like a scanner out of his car.
Yep.
Like he stands going up the exit ramp. I forget which exit it is, but I know every time when it's coming up, and I always purposely slow myself down to like right at 60. And then as soon as I know he can't see me anymore, I'm back up to my comfort zone of going my 9 to 10 over.
Right.
So there you go. But yeah, you start to figure out these things when you drive certain routes a certain amount of time. So that's the problem. Shador just needs to remember where these cops are posted up. He doesn't know the Cleveland Highway, the way that they handle these things. Well, he doesn't know where they post up yet. He hasn't learned all the spots.
Shame on the Browns, because I posted this yesterday, that one of the first things players should be told is where the cops hide. You don't speed in North Olmsted on Interstate 480. You don't speed on I-90 in Westlake. You don't speed on I-71 in Strongsville, and you don't speed on 77 South once you get past Seven Hills. That like the law of the land, they will nail you every single time.
Yeah.
So yeah, the other thing I posted is you also want to tell them what establishments not to frequent in the West in the warehouse district, because nothing good happens there after certain times of the night. But yeah, I mean, I had a buddy of mine text me a post on Blue Sky, and he posted, that's nothing, a couple of months ago. He went 144 when he was supposed to go 25.
144? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that tweet now. I'm sorry. I thought you were saying somebody said they went 144. Okay. And I was like, somebody went 144? And then I realized you were trying to make the joke about the guy who had that tweet.
I wasn't making the joke. So here's the thing.
That was a funny tweet, yes.
Here's the serious question.
That was a funny tweet.
I know this is me, and I'm asking a serious question. Can we make jokes about this? Like, I did on the afternoon show earlier this week, I did the Mount Rushmore of Brown's demon speeders on the freeway.
Didn't you just name them earlier? You said it was Miles. You said it was
I went Miles.
We don't
Garrett,
do Mount Rushmore's fellas on this show.
Power ranking.
We gotta rank them.
Your power ranking of the Cleveland speeders.
All right, here we go. Because he's a young buck.
All right,
at number 4, Shador Sanders.
Coming in two in the matter of 2 months.
Okay, coming in at number 3. Mostly because let's be honest about it. The video after he got pulled over, Kareem Hunt, number 3.
Okay.
Coming in at number two, we got to go $230 million, Deshaun Watson. Again, video involved. Yeah. And the number one demon speeder, Myles Garrett. And that's because he flipped the
ball. Yeah, that was bad.
Honorable mentions, though.
Oh, go ahead.
We have honorable mentions. Greg Little, got to give him some love. And I kind of feel like we got to get Josh Gordon in there, too.
I'm surprised you didn't have Josh Gordon in the four.
Yeah. You know, I might have had it originally, but like I'm just doing it off the top of my head. Yeah. I don't remember what I did.
That's the fun of the segments.
So. Yeah, I don't remember what I did like 3 hours ago, let alone 3 days
Jed
ago.
Jed Wills and Rashard Higgins have
Jed
a
Wills,
drag
Rashard
race?
Higgins, they little did drag have a race. Drag
over
race,
by Crocker Park.
You're right.
And then Justin Gilbert, although it wasn't speeding, he was throwing cups of Copenhagen spit at other people. I'd like to have.
And he also kept forgetting to set his alarm clock, but that's a whole
he also
different
forgot
conversation.
He was drafted in the top 10.
By the way, I said I-71. I meant I-77 when I'm coming up. There's always a cop that's at the one exit there. Yeah. That is standing there with a scanner. He tries to hide behind the sign in the tree. But I do want to get to why, even though I know the Browns didn't actually want this to happen, why I actually think they're going to milk it for all it's worth. But real quick, we promised getting to some of the phone calls. Let's go to the phones right now. We got Lou in North Royalton up first this morning on the Fan. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Spence. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Good. What's up?
Hey, I don't know how old Shador is, but
23.
I was 25. Both my brother and I, we went to school at the University of Dayton, and we went back down to Dayton with a friend of ours. And typically, Dayton is about a 3 hour and 15 minute ride. I made it halfway. I was racing an IROC. My brother had just bought a brand new like 91. Alfa Romeo, and some IROC wanted to race me on 270 in Columbus. So I was doing about 145.
You were trying to get the draft pick that Shador was 144. You surpassed it actually.
he went a mile lower or higher than Shador went.
But I think back to it now. I'm like, man, that is so stupid because you hit a pebble, you hit something, and you're done, you're finished,
Yeah. You're
obliterated. But the cop was coming from the opposite direction. He was going southbound on 71 in Mansfield. I would have made it from Dayton to Cleveland in an hour and a half if I didn't get stopped, but.
Those pesky cops.
Well, and you still ended up working in law enforcement, right, Lou? So it's all good in the end.
Listen, he cut me a break because he waited till I got on top of him, and he turned on his radar, and my radar detector went crazy. My brother's in the back seat sleeping, and I could see him. So I slam on the brakes, and he turned around in the grass. And when he got me, he looked in the car and he goes, "I guess the hand is quicker than the eye, huh?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Do you know how fast you're going?" I said, "No, I was going pretty fast." And he's like, "Well, I clocked you at 105. He goes, "But you were probably going faster than that, weren't you?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I was."
Wow.
So he gave me a waiverable ticket. So this was 1991. That ticket was like $105. Something like that. So
they're about $250 now.
I was
inflation.
Literally 45 miles over the speed limit. That is reckless op. Okay, that's what DUI victims plead down or people plead down to is reckless op.
Yeah.
So I literally thought he was going to arrest me that night and take me to jail, you know, some hick town in southern Ohio. It would have gone well for me. So, but
well,
we live and learn.
Yeah,
we live and learn, guys. And well, Shador's going to learn. Luckily, thank God that, you know, nobody got hurt. He didn't get hurt. But I think his dad needs to make a phone call and a visit and probably slap him upside his head and say, "What the hell are you doing?"
All right, Lou. Yeah, no, I think that's well said. And I can appreciate these stories, like the candid stories of others who have like had a similar thing happen, because I do think it puts in perspective. Again, this doesn't have to be the end of the world for Shador. It doesn't have to define him from a character standpoint. It doesn't have to define him from a football standpoint. Like, he can obviously still be a great player potentially for this Browns team and maybe become their franchise quarterback for all we know. This doesn't have to be the end of the world, but there are people like Colin Cowherd who are just using it as like a reason why like he's not ready to be the quarterback. Which, by the way, that's what I'm getting at when I say I think that no, the Browns didn't want this to happen, but they're going to use it to their advantage. We've already seen Darrell. They are slow playing it as much as they can with Shador. They haven't given him first team reps. He's the only quarterback who hasn't taken first team reps. They are very much so saying, hey, he's our four string quarterback right now. They don't want him to see the field week one. Most likely, I mean, we've all come to an agreement that like if he earns the starting job, it would be a massive surprise if he was starting week one of the season. I don't really think they want either of these rookies starting week one, but I definitely don't think they want Shador starting week one because they feel like he's still got work to do. And so as they sort of try to be patient with getting him on the field and making him a starter at some point, I think this is actually a situation where the Browns are, again, not happy that it happened, but I do think that they are going to take advantage of the situation that Shador finds himself in to say, hey, we just don't think he's ready yet. We got to give it more time. They won't deliberately say it's because of this situation, but it's another reason why they can sort of say and publicly show, hey, we're slow playing it with this guy. He needs to grow from a maturity standpoint. He needs to grow from a quarterback standpoint and a skill standpoint and learning the game and playing at the NFL level. There are things that he has to do before we trust that he's going to be our franchise quarterback. And so this is kind of a step backwards for Shador, where it's like, okay, you got to earn that trust back. And so I think because of that, the Browns are actually, they sort of benefit in a way from having this happen, because they can then sell everybody on, well, he's just not ready to be our starting quarterback yet. And that's what they ultimately want. For a guy who's as polarizing as he is as a fifth round pick, this is another thing that they can sort of throw into the pile of, well, he's just not quite there, and we just aren't quite ready to trust him as our starting quarterback, so he's going to have to wait a little longer.
It's an opportunity for the Browns to pump the brakes.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. 100%. And I like the pun that you made.
It took you a moment. Yeah, but you got there. That's what's important.
This song always makes me think of, I think it was like MLB The Show, like 2014 or something like that. I think this was on one of those baseball games from my childhood. Which I guess 2014 was really my childhood. I was out of college then, but that's when it was from. It might have even been further back than that. I don't know.
Keep forgetting you're just a puppy.
I wouldn't say that, but I will say when Lou talked about getting a speeding ticket for going 145 in 1991, I almost told him, hey, Lou, that speeding ticket's about as old as I am, because I was born in 91. I would have made him feel real old, though. And I like Lou, so I didn't want to do that.
I was in high school in 1991.
Well, now I made you feel old.
Yeah.
Sorry, Daryl.
That's all right. I've reached a point in my career where, like, there are days that I'm working and I really am the old man.
See,
in the room.
So I might make you feel old, but I'll say this. Matt Corrali the other day, one of our fine 2020, new 2020 guys, I was talking about how my son, who's 3 years old, loves cars. Like, that's like his Disney. That's like the Disney, right? Pixar movie he's like really into right now that he watches. And he started telling me about, like, oh yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I loved cars. And that was one of those that was one of those first moments for me where I realized, like, that movie is actually old. Like, that movie came out in like 06, 05, 06, and he said he was born in like 2001, 2002, whatever it was. And so I was like, well, that tracks. Like, you would have been like 4 or 5 years old, so it works. But I was like, I just can't fathom that, like, my son, who's 3, is now loving a movie that this person who I'm working with watched when it first came out when he was also like 3 or 4 years old. That's wild to me.
So my favorite animated movie of all time is Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That is a good one.
And so the first pig, the real pig that launched Pixar, Toy Story. So
I love Toy Story as a kid.
Do I want to tell this story on the air? Do I just want to keep this in the back pocket?
Of course you want to tell this story.
Right. This is back. Toy Story comes out, right? I'm working at a grocery retailer back home and to pay my way through high school so I can get a car and all that kind of stuff. And so I worked in the video department because I love movies. And so I worked the video counter. Toy Story comes out, and the studio does like this massive launch promotion, and our store was picked. We had to dress up as the characters. So I'm going to see how good you guys are. What character in Toy Story do you think I didn't even get it out.
Doesn't he look like he could dress up like Woody and he'd pull it off?
Didn't even
it
get the question.
It was either Woody or Slinky Dog, dude.
Slinky Dog. One of them. Daryl and Slinky Dog. That
I didn't even
hilarious.
Get the question out. Didn't even get the question out.
You look like a Woody there, Daryl.
So I had to dress up as Woody. We had Bo Peep there. Like, it was a lot of fun, but yeah. I was not, but I. So I
want your memes to right or wrong.
Next year, you should do the.
I wanted to be Buzz Lightyear. That was the thing. I'm like, because at the time, I was like, really? I got stuck with Woody? I wanted to be Buzz Lightyear.
Next year, you should dress up as. You should pull the Woody costume out.
Well, I don't have the costume.
You gotta find a new one.
Daryl, we'll acquire a costume.
Well, you know what?
Is that within the Odyssey
budget?
We
have a costume emporium.
Listen, if you want to light some money on fire, I am here for your amusement.
You need to wear the Woody costume and be Woody for the 92.3 The Fan draft. No, the draft next year.
Absolutely,
that would be absolutely hilarious.
He's got to wear a suit. He's the commissioner. He's got to have the suit on.
Yeah, I can't be wearing some cowboy.
Halloween
game, you can wear your Woody costume. Tell Miles, get a Buzz Lightyear. Yeah. You guys can go together. Guys, he loves to wear costumes.
That's a great idea. You
to
and Miles,
infinity and beyond.
That can be the theme of the Browns season, too. Like, the sky is the limit. You never know. To infinity and beyond, maybe they'll make the playoffs this year.
And then he tries to fly off the dresser and crashes on the floor.
Well, at first he actually hooks. He doesn't crash on the floor. It's later that he crashes on the floor.
You just got to dump all just over saying. The sarcasm.
Big Toy Story.
Aficionado over here. Okay.
Yeah. I used to know every word when I was a kid. But yeah, so that was our segment on people making us feel old. So actually, somebody just tweeted me, GolfCrazy216. Damn, boys, I was in my sophomore year of college in 92. So you even made him feel, because you said you were in high school in 92.
Yeah. I was a freshman in high school.
Sorry, Nelson. Yeah, it's been that kind of morning already. Let's go to the phones. I know James in Cleveland's been trying to get in on the Shador Sanders thing. What's up, James?
How you doing, guys?
Good, man. What's up,
James? How are you, bud?
I'm good. Actually, I'm driving down 77 right now, so I need to know where the cops are at. So,
are you going
north or south?
South.
How many miles over the speed limit are you going currently?
So I always use cruise control. After my first ticket, I go 9 over, and that's it.
Okay.
That's usually, that's the sweet spot.
All right, be careful around the Brecksville area.
They always say if you go 9 over, you're okay. Like, the cops won't catch you.
I do 7 to be safe.
I mean, let's be honest. We've all had speeding tickets. Once you get behind the car as a man, you want to go fast, right?
Yeah, like Ricky Bobby.
If you ain't first, you're last.
100%. But no, I mean, somebody's got to tell Shador about Waze. You guys hip to the Waze app?
I know what the Waze app is. I usually just use the Google one, like the Google Maps. And Google's gotten better, where they actually like track all those things now. They didn't used to do that, but now Google has like the cop plate, like where the cops are in there. They have like if there's construction in there, and you can like hit the button that says like, is it still there? Is it not still there? And let them know. But I do know what Waze is, and Waze does a lot of the same stuff. Yes.
That same stuff. So like if there's a cop coming up, it's going to let you know. So somebody's got to let them know or use one of those apps.
Yeah, that's a good point by you, James, and we appreciate the call, man. Yeah, listen.
The modern radar detector is on your phone.
I do wonder, though, because I don't know.
We could also have our potential franchise quarterback not speed so much.
Details.
We could do that.
That is true.
Instead of just going, hey, here's how you get around it. We should all know how to get around it.
But is he really the franchise quarterback?
I said
right
potential.
Now?
He did say potential. I think he's got a shot.
Anybody's the potential. 45-year-old Joe Flacco's the potential franchise.
What did you say, Spencer? It's the Island of Misfit Toys?
It's the Island of Misfit Toys, yeah.
I have never heard a more apt description in my life.
It's two veterans, one who's in his 40s, who is a flame-out first-round pick, and then two rookies, one that's a fifth-rounder that's more polarizing than the third-rounder.
And the other guy I can't see behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, exactly.
Like true story. So many. I've told this on a couple other shows. So during minicamp, I'm standing in the end zone looking down the field about 40 yards, 40, 50 yards down the line there. I could not see Dylan Gabriel behind the line of scrimmage. The only reason I knew where he was on the field was I was watching the offensive and defensive lines follow him, and I was like, oh, we're rolling this play to the left. Oh, this play's going to the right. I have no idea where Dylan Gabriel is. He's in there somewhere.
There's going to be a lot of like our brethren at the at the TV stations here locally who are on the sidelines with their cameras. If Dylan Gabriel is starting at quarterback, there's going
to
be a lot of that.
It's going to be hard to see him.
Their camera shot is going to be like, I don't know where Dylan Gabriel is, but he's
back
there
somewhere. But this is where everybody's running.
And then all of a sudden, you're going to see a ball either coming right at the camera or going completely the opposite direction because they're not going to have it framed up correctly. And that's just how that's going to go. So let's go to Colton Inc.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cuyahoga Falls, what's up, Colton?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Friday.
You too.
Right back at you.
A tall boy Friday, as Ken Carmel would say, yes.
So I actually have the perfect solution for Shador if he wants to speed. We have four local short tracks, stock car racing tracks in the general area of Cleveland. We got Lorraine, Painesville, Midvale, and Norton. I happen to be the track photographer at Norton. Someone get the kid on the phone if he wants to go fast. Build him a stock car. Let him race on
all
Saturday,
your success.
And let him play football on Sundays.
I wonder, Colton, and we appreciate the call, if that would that be worked into his contract? Would they be like, hey, no stock car racing?
Yeah, well, I'm sure they put, you know,
Is that in a rookie deal? Is that part of the CBA?
Well, they did. They don't let Myles Garrett play basketball that much anymore. You know, here, I have said this, and actually I have said this to the higher-ups in the Browns a couple years ago when we had an epidemic of speeding tickets. I said, you know what you guys ought to do? You ought to build a drag strip somewhere or a track somewhere where these guys
let them get it out of their system.
Here's the thing, and there's some good points being made here. Football players are adrenaline. A lot of them are adrenaline junkies. So like, I get it. I told the story yesterday. I'd love to get in a car and go 120 around a track. I'll be terrified doing it. But it's on the bucket list. I would love to do that at some point. But I certainly am not going to try and do that on a freeway, okay?
Right.
But, you know, let's find a way, and I think Colton raises a good point. Let's find a way where they can go do that safely somewhere.
They didn't factor that into the Browns' new practice facility? It's not part of the plans to have a drag race track built over there?
I don't think that they bought enough acreage to do that. Although... Mm-hmm. I like where your head's at.
Brook Park, maybe? Maybe they could sort of work that into the plans?
Hey, you know what? They got 176 acres out there. I don't know. You can go ring around the new dome or something like that.
Not a bad thought.
Oh, here we go. Here's a question.
There's all these F1 races that like come into town and race and then leave.
Here's the question. So I have raised the idea that in Brook Park, when they do this dome and the development, that they name streets after Browns players. So, like, I think the new address for the dome should be 1946 Paul Brown Way, Brook Park, Ohio, right? Yeah. You can do Joe Thomas, all that. So, if the Browns built a racetrack which Browns player should they name it after?
We'll just go back to your power rankings, Daryl. Who's at the top of the list?
I forget.
Miles Garrett, I think, was the first guy, so it's got to be after Miles, I guess.
The Garrett Speedway.
Can you name a street after a current player? Does he have to be retired?
Can you
combine their names? Can you call it like the Garrett Gordon Ooh, Sanders?
I like where your head's at on that. The Garrett Gordon Speedway.
The Garrett Gordon Sanders Speedway. Then you get two G's and two S's in.
You know what? I think we're picking on Shador a little too much here. He's just getting started.
Well, he is the topic to join. All right, we'll try to get to these last couple callers here. We do have About Last Night coming up here in a few minutes. Also, a little bit later in the show, our season tickets, a thing of the past, and I want to know if we still believe Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are tied to each other, or if one seat could actually be hotter than the other going into the season. Malone in Lakewood. What you got, Malone?
Hey, what's up? I would have guessed the Toy Story character Daryl would have been, based on his favorite Nick Chubb play being a kneel down, would have been the wet blanket. But that was just me. I wanted to call in and say...
Wait, you're coming after me because I admire Nick Chubb for being unselfish and not scoring a touchdown.
That's the weakest thing I've ever heard. 100%.
Bumping out at the 5-yard line.
I did like a top 5 Nick Chubb plays, and I had that on there because I was like, that's to me,
Give Deshaun Watson a chance to come back and
beat
him.
I've ever seen in my life. The most Cleveland Browns favorite play in the entire history.
I didn't say it was my favorite play from Nick Chubb, but I do think like that to me spoke to Nick Chubb's football IQ. Yeah. And that's why I put it on there, because he was such a smart player on top of being a great
smart, unselfish guy. I like those guys.
Malone, you like that one where he scored against the Jets, right?
Oh, touchy subject.
That was great.
The offense scores, the defense stops from scoring. Stop them from scoring.
Except for they did. Well, if you've watched Browns football the last 30 years, you know you can't count on the defense to stop them.
That's been our best. Defense has been the best thing we've had probably in the last 30 years.
Great in that Jets game.
We should have known Joe Flacco was going to be great back then.
Houston Texans to play wild card playoff game, too.
Man, I wanted to say also, you drive the national speed limit. You drive the national speed limit, which is whatever there is a highway in America that has a speed limit, you can drive up to that. So in West Virginia, it's like 80 miles an hour, 75 or 80 miles an hour. So you have the ability in America to go up to 80 miles an hour. Any time that the speed limit changes, it's just a speed trap for cities to imply fines and tickets.
I think Texas is the state you want to use. I think that's part of the reason a lot of these guys are getting, you know, they're Texans kids. They're Texas kids.
If you drive to West Virginia, they want you to go 90 miles an hour through the mountains. Semi-trucks are going 100 miles an hour.
Out in Montana, it's like 70, 75 through the mountains, and it's like, whoa, this is insane.
That's what we have. That's what you should be able to drive on the highway. The national speed limit.
Yeah. All right. I like that. I like that take, Malone.
Nick Chubb.
It's 80 in Oklahoma on the turnpike.
Being a Western New York native, like I drive I-90 all the time, right? Like going from Cleveland to visit my parents or like whatever. And like I-90 is 65 the entire way in New York. And it's like, why? Why? I'm in Pennsylvania going on the turnpike there, and it's 70. I'm in Ohio going 70 on their state freeway. Like, what are we doing
here? I have two words for you. States' rights.
I guess. But I kind of agree with him on that take. I'm just going to start going.
I don't agree about me calling me a wet blanket, though.
I didn't say that. I agreed with the latter half of the call. I thought the Nick Chubb going out of bounds play is one of his better plays. Speaks to, again, his football IQ. We got time for one more here. Demos and Shaker. What's up, Demos?
Hey, so my mom's from Germany, and so I'm lucky enough to have driven on the Autobahn there. And the funny part about the Autobahn is, like, for an American, you get up to, like, 115, 120, and you think that you're, you know, like, just really going crazy here. And next thing you know, though, you're looking in your rearview mirror, and a Beamer is blinking at me, like, get the hell over, because I was passing someone. And then when the Beamer passed me up, he got over. and a Porsche went by us about 200 miles an hour. And you heard the sound go like that right past your window. And it was wild. And so, you know, I can see why Shador, you know, has the need for speed because, you know, it's fun.
Maybe that's the thing. We appreciate the call, Demos. Maybe that's what the Browns need to do is just fund a trip for every rookie to go to Germany and drive on the Autobahn.
There you
at
go.
Least for like spend a week there, just drive on it, get it out of your system. And then you come back ready to go for training camp on July 18th. That's maybe the way to do it. By the way, how many accidents does the Autobahn have? Because we've talked so much about, like, hey, it's dangerous, you can cause accidents, and it's true, but does the Autobahn have a lot of accidents? Now, isn't the Autobahn just like a straight line, basically? Like, you don't have any turns or twists or anything in there?
I've never been to Europe, and I know that there's a lot of twists and turns in Europe. There's these things called mountains.
I know what the Autobahn is. I don't know like where it's located enough to know like what, like, is it?
Germany.
Go ahead and check your Waze app.
I know Germany, but I'm saying, like, is it just like a straight line? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Maybe that's why they get away with just driving as fast as they can. I don't know.
So much can happen around the globe that we never hear of.
I really share in our fans' disappointment, frustration. Honestly, I'm embarrassed.
They've been through some tough battles, right? They know what the playoffs looks like. This team's been battle-tested in the playoffs.
He's a piece of crap. The kid, he sucked. He's sucked his whole career.
I got rumors about him. He couldn't please his wife, so now he's divorced.
Put a damn winning team on the field.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, for the first time in 9 years, we'll have a Game 7 of the NBA Finals after last night's 108-91 victory for the Indiana Pacers over the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Pacers have been playing Cinderella all year. We'll have the chance to do it on Sunday. But according to head coach Rick Carlisle, everything in the past is out the window.
One game. I mean, this is what it's all about. This is what you dream about growing up, this kind of opportunity. It's a very difficult place to play. We know that. But the opportunity to play in a game like this is a great honor and a great privilege.
At this point, any talk about things in the past, really meaningless. It's one game, and it's the ultimate game.
Carlisle 3-2 in game sevens in his coaching career. Does this surpass his run with Dallas in 2011 if the Pacers get it done Sunday?
I think so, because I think with Dallas, you had, it was a different era, obviously, but you had like a star player in Dirk, and you kind of knew like this team could certainly be in the mix for a championship. This team has been counted out every step of the way. And I think like the NBA is different now, like I said, where you have a different style of play. You need a deep team. You can't just bank. Like the gone are the days of like the big three being the thing that wins you a title. But I think his coaching.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brilliance has been on full display throughout this playoffs, and the way he's done things, the fact that he prepared his team for this different style of play that all these other teams just haven't necessarily been ready for, and the team that has been most equipped to handle it has been this Oklahoma City Thunder team, and even they've struggled at times. You mentioned it earlier, Dale, like the inbounding plays. That's been a bugaboo for all the teams that have played the Pacers to this point. So, yeah, like I think this is coaching brilliance to a T. And Rick Carlisle deserves a lot of credit if they go out and win this championship.
I'm going to disagree with you. Mm. I think the Dallas title is more significant. They beat the Heatles.
Yep.
They beat the Heatles, okay? I still have the Dallas Maverick NBA champions. We were all witnesses. Beerstein mug. Celebrating the fact that LeBron lost.
What was
his
the slogan that year? Because the year after that it was okay, Clee, and all the Cleveland fans were rooting.
Was
for
it okay. Rise up still or one goal?
No, we're talking.
No, I'm talking about
the Mavaliers. Sorry, yeah,
the Mavaliers. That's what it
was. The Mavaliers. Yeah,
Owen, the Mavaliers.
So yeah. I mean,
what a joke.
give Carlisle all the credit in the world. He's done a brilliant job, but I still feel that the Mavericks title over the Heatles. Because of that is a super team. I don't think the Thunder are a super team just yet.
It's a fair point. The only thing I'll say is I think like situations like that when you have like a star player involved that was like a definitive star player, like I think when you see a coach take a team that isn't considered like as good like this Pacers team and he gets this out of them, I think that proves like or shows how good of a coach he is. It's kind of like the Mike Tomlin effect, where it's like those Steelers teams should not be anywhere near the playoffs, and yet somehow they always make the playoffs. They don't win, but they at least somehow make the playoffs every single year.
Really quickly, Dallas also beat the defending champion Lakers and the burgeoning Oklahoma City Thunder at the time with KD, Russ, and Harden before they beat Miami that year.
Daryl won, Spencer none.
Going over from basketball to baseball yesterday, the Guardians unable to finish the sweep in San Francisco, losing 2-1. Had a good game for most of it. Gavin Williams was solid, went 6 innings, shutout innings with 6 strikeouts, but the combination of Matt Festa and Nick Enright did not prove fruitful in the 7th inning, giving up that 2-run double. Manager Stephen Vogt, though, not too down on the loss.
I feel like we're clicking on a lot of cylinders right now. You know, take away the Seattle series where we weren't ourselves. We've been playing some really good baseball.
Look, 2 out of 3 games is 2 out of 3 games, but Daryl, you have other thoughts.
Did you just say that Vogt feels like they're clicking it on all cylinders? Here we go. I got the numbers. I'll look them up.
Let's hear it.
Here we go. Last 22 games, the Guardians are 8-14, and in those 22 games, they have failed to score more than 3 runs 13 times. So, yes, please tell me more about how you're clicking on all cylinders.
Is that bad, Daryl?
That's horrible.
So,
I score more than the Guardians do.
I think when Tito was here, he became sort of like a broken record in a way where, like, you kind of knew what he was going to say. I mean, like, I know Dan Menigan does a hell of a Terry Francona impersonation. You could ask him like, hey, give us a line from Terry Francona. He'd like give it to you. He'd almost make it like he had the gum in his mouth and all that. Like he can do it to a T. So he kind of sounded like a broken record. But am I wrong in feeling like Vogt's like almost worse? Like where he has the same lines every time. It's like, oh, you know, we're not ourselves, but I think we're playing great baseball. I think we're rolling right now. I think guys are really getting. I'm like, what are we watching two different things? Like, I understand the Tigers have been incredible, and they are, right now, the Guardians are above 500, and it is remarkable that he's managed to keep this thing afloat, given the resources that they have and the team that he has built around him right now. But man, like, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that he really believes what he's saying half the time when he's out there like, yeah, I think we look pretty good. We're just, you know, baseball's a tough sport. You lose some games. It's the same messaging over and over again, and I just want to bash my head into a wall sometimes.
Sometimes it rains. The old nuclear line. What are we doing? The offense is unwatchable. They have three legitimate major leaguers in the lineup, and that's it.
And people are like when Shane Bieber gets back, it's all going to be fixed. Like, okay, what does that do for the offense?
Yeah, I was going to say, does Shane Bieber hit baseballs out of the ballpark? Well, this is the other
if
problem.
David Fry plays a little bit more, is that going to be the difference in this team now being like a competitive team in the playoffs?
Well, here's the thing. They got a bunch of 4A players.
Yeah.
Okay, they're better than AAA, but they're not good enough to be major leaguers. And
when's Chase DeLauder coming? By the way,
and the other problem for them too is. You know, if the power numbers are up this year, like they are hitting the ball out of the ballpark more than they did last year. The problem is nobody's ever on base except for the other day, Mitch. Look at me. He's looking there. They just hit a 3-run homer the other night. Andrew Schneeman. Get Schneeman to the All-Star game. Hit a 3-run homer. Get him to the All-Star game. Tweet it out there, Guardians. Like, what are we doing?
We did have Todd Derry on yesterday talking about Nolan Jones's hitting average lately. It's like, who cares? He's got 3 home runs on the season.
Ugh.
Guy can't hit for power.
Where's the Tylenol?
You know who hit for power last night? You know who hit for power last night? A bunch of people over in Lake County at the David Njoku Celebrity Softball Game, including one Shador Sanders. He actually didn't hit a home run last night, but he did have two hits. He did also address briefly some of the speeding allegations against him, kind of vaguely. This audio courtesy of Gucci CU on Twitter.
You know, I made some wrong choices personally, and I got owned up to them. I made some, you know, not great choices. I learned.
So Sanders is one of the last people I saw get to the park last night over in Eastlake, and people, the joke was from a million miles away. Oh, how fast did he take to get here? I couldn't take it the first time I heard it.
You know what's funny about that whole experience last night? I was supposed to be there. I had a family thing come up, but Mitch was obviously there, like yep. You were saying, and you were texting us. And you were like, in your text, you said, yeah, right now, no Miles, no Flacco, and no Njoku.
Which they
had
announced.
I was like, wait, David Njoku's not in his own celebrity softball game? And then you were like, I'm sorry, I meant Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And you clarified, which I don't think people miss Deshaun Watson not being there for what it's worth. But what I thought was funny was, and I made this joke to you in the text, both of you guys in the text chain, I was like, honestly, it would be very on brand for David Njoku to not show up to his own celebrity.
He was cool, man. He was very like up and positive about all the experience last night, as were many other players.
Am I wrong about that, Daryl? Wouldn't it be very on brand for David Njoku just to not show up to his own celebrity softball game?
For once, I have no comment.
Why is that a bad thing to comment on? Why is that a bad thing to comment on?
There are just some things that might not in the text thread that shouldn't be shared on the air, and I would probably say that would be one of them.
That was as innocuous as it gets.
But you're not, no lies detected. That's all I'm going to say.
I do have this audio, though, from last night's game, if you'll indulge me. This is the introduction of Shador Sanders
Is this you?
Oh. Here's the clip.
Now batting, quarterback for your Cleveland Browns, number 12, Shador Sanders.
You know Ken and Lime are going to clip that, right?
Oh, that's really good, Mitch.
It was good. Ken and Lime are absolutely, if they're listening right now, if they're out there listening right now, they are going to cut that, and they're going to make sure that that's something. Like, the day Shador Sanders is announced as the starting quarterback of this team, or he's playing, they are going to run that bit into the ground for an entire week of show.
Actually, you know what? I just found out something else.
It was very good, though, Mitch. I should make sure I add the caveat.
I just found out something else we can make Mitch do here at the radio station.
For all the hosts?
We do the Guardians daily starting lineup. We should have Mitch Spinell,
the voiceover.
When the lineup comes out, he should have to record it for his daily and send it in to whatever show's going to do the bit. And then, Mitch Spinell announces the daily Guardians lineup.
I could spend a day in the booth, do every individual player. And if they get call-ups, I'll send them in via my phone, and then we'll just have people stitch it together for the day. How about that?
That's a good idea.
I kind of like you calling in and doing it live, personally.
I also like the idea of Mitch doing intros for all the hosts at the station.
Oh, I
will talk to Keith about it, and that's it for about last night.
All right, Mitch, good stuff, man. Yeah, that was really well done. I thought it was a good announcement, but you know Ken and Lime are going to be all over that.
That was
they use your umpire strike three call like every day almost. They find a reason to work it in.
Oh, yeah.
So you know your voiceover of you announcing Shador Sanders.
Do you do the Frank Drebin
Oh, you've never heard the the actual clip of him calling strike three?
No. Do it. Go.
Strike three. Strike three.
There it is.
I don't know. I think it's a little soft. Yay. It's good.
Enough of that.
A little soft.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.